Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast for Career Month, October 2020. Loving Career Month and everything we're doing during these deep dives on the Member Podcast. Today, we have John Butcher back on the line. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Jordan. How are you doing?
Excellent, my friend. Loving Career Month. This has been a really powerful month of content for me. Everything is very, very pertinent, the way we move through the 12 categories, and I feel very blessed to be absorbing the knowledge of all our expert guests. This is a category that you really understand quite well, I feel. Do you feel that way?
Well, you know, we've all got our own separate paths. I certainly have had an interesting one, that's for sure. My career path has been varied, meaning there's just been a lot of contrast. I've, you know, worked on the back of a garbage truck, worked in a health club, started a lot of companies. I've had a lot of successes. I've had a lot of failures. So yeah, I feel like I've got a pretty rich career history.
Right. And it's interesting, just to go off on a little side note right in the beginning, you're not looking for a perfect track record, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, because it almost never exists. The really talented folks and the seasoned folks say exactly what you just say. I've had a lot of successes. I've had even more failures. But in the end, they come out ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's 100% right. You cannot, I don't think you can make it through life or make it through your career path without, you know, falling and making mistakes and having failures. They all just turn into learning experiences. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you strike out, as long as you knock that ball over the fence or hit a good solid triple, double, or single, that's what you're at.
Every once in a while. That's exactly right. I'm really excited to dive into today's topic, which is value creation. One of the core fundamental distillable crystals at the core of the career category in Lifebook. I want to talk about what value creation is, better understanding it, how it works, and kind of the laws around value and wealth. So why don't we start there? Yep. How would you define value creation?
Creating something valuable. That's literally what it is.
All right, folks. That's all my career run.
It's creating or providing something that somebody else will consider valuable. That's all value creation is.
Something else someone will consider valuable. That instantly suggests that it's not definitively concrete. It's subjective.
Oh, it's 100% subjective. So in other words, the value of something is only worth what somebody is willing to pay for it, for real.
Right.
That's how we gauge value, is how people trade their goods and services. So it is completely subjective. I mean, heroin is a value to a heroin addict. It's not a value to other people, but you know what I mean? So it's very, very subjective.
Right.
And so value doesn't necessarily always mean good. Nuclear weapons or like I said, drugs, you know, But your job at the end of the day, if you want to make more money, your job is to create more value, period. And you can do that in your existing job to make more money. And creating more value means creating something that's valuable to as many people as possible. You know, it was that Nightingale quote that your rewards are going to be determined by the amount of value you create and how many people you are able to serve. Mm. Perfect example of it, Jordan, when we first started Lifebook way back in 2006, 2007, we didn't have an online presence. The internet wasn't what it is now. There was no social media. And we had an expensive seminar. It costs a lot of money to put this together. And we took people through this incredibly luxury experience where they were thinking through their lives in four intensive days, you know, all the categories back to back.
It was like eight people too. It was like very intimate, totally different style, and just not as effective on a scale.
Well, you know, we created a hell of a lot of value for people, and we charged, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 for that.
Right.
But then when Lifebook broke out worldwide, is when it started serving more people.
Yes.
So instead of charging one person $5,000, we're now charging 10 people $5,000 to go through Lifebook. It's, you know, a $500 program. So we were able to take the exact same product and serve more people and charge them less money and make a much, much bigger impact as a result. So that's an example of, you know, that's an example of matching your goods or your services to somebody else's needs. when we first started Lifebook, we didn't really see a path forward to making it a mass market product. So we matched our talents to the needs of people who were relatively affluent and really after, you know, their own personal development.
Right. And that was part of that niche group, which I feel like has grown even in just these past 10, 15 years. I feel like personal development niche is expanding within our culture here, but then also globally.
Absolutely right. It's been a big focus of and it's been the internet that's driven the growth of personal development. You can learn anything you want, and a lot of it's free, right? Yeah. So anyway, but bottom line is this: if you want to make more money, you've got to figure out how to create more value for more people. You can do that in your existing job. Just asking yourself, how can I create more things, more services, more products, more of an offering that will serve more people inside of my existing job? Mm-hmm. How can I create more value here? Or if you're looking to maybe change careers eventually, you could start creating value on the side while you're doing your normal job.
Totally.
What can you do? Or if you want to completely change careers, your job is to figure out what the talents that you have, your specific gifts, what you can do with those gifts to create value for other people. How can you match those talents to the needs of others? Mm-hmm. You know, like it's like when the two young kids came to us and asked us, okay, guys, we're ready to make money, Justin and Jake. I was like, okay, Justin, what are you great at and what do you love doing? You are a great cook. You've spent years doing that. You're hilarious on video. You're an incredible performer. You're interested in music. You're interested in fashion. We really talked down. What do you have to offer?
Wow.
To whom? And what's the best path here for you to create enough value that you can ask people to pay you for it? That's the mission. And so that's what we should all be doing, I think.
I want to run something by you because that makes perfect sense. And when you think about it, when you said all of those things, you have these different levels of talents, right? And then the question is, how do those talents translate to the value? I almost feel like they fall into a couple of different categories. And I want to run them by you, and maybe you can kind of hone them down or let me know what you think. So I think really when it boils down to it, you're either creating something, you're either servicing someone for something, or you're enhancing, like basically inventing something. So creation is simple. You're a creator. You create a product, you sell your product. You build something, you sell it. That one's easy. Service also easy. You go and fix someone's something. You go and you're doing something that is a physical activity or some sort of an act.
You're washing someone's car or mowing someone's lawn. Boom. Yeah, exactly.
And then enhancement is like maybe, you know, you invented something and hopefully you're getting paid from the patent or you've on a massive scale because of one invention or a one-time thing. You now have enhanced so much in the world, right? I'm thinking about people who invent certain softwares and all of that stuff. I guess that's a form of creation, but it almost falls in its own category. Do you feel like people identify with different sections of those categories? Like, I feel like you're a creator and you maybe couldn't be happy serving someone as much as creating your own stuff, whereas I'm a little bit different than that.
Yeah. You are 100% right, Jordan, and that comes down to your personality trait. You can look to the Enneagram system to understand more about your specific personality. You can look to the Human Design system, but you're right. I'm a manifester. I'm a creator, and so that channel is where I'm going to be. I would not be happy. You know, I would not be happy being a waiter. That just wouldn't be fulfilling to me. I couldn't. I wouldn't be happy just doing a service. But other people are cut out for that. I would say that you've nailed the three kind of really big ones, but there are more subtle ways that you can create a lot of value. For instance, if you're a administrative assistant, you're really good at like efficiencies,
right?
You can go into an existing office and make it much, much more efficient.
Well, that's kind of an enhancement. That's a great example.
Yeah, that's an enhancement. Right? Or you can be a good, solid financial executive and go into a company and help them really tighten their belt and become much more profitable.
Right.
You can go into a company that has some, you know, employee tension and problems in their culture and help them smooth their culture out and get along better. There's so many different
that's
ways to provide
healing. Value. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Right? Wow, there's so many ways to provide value for people. And look, I'm not saying that creating direct value for your fellow human beings is the only way to make money. There are a lot of other ways to make money. You can buy and sell stocks. Who does that create value for?
Oh man, that's always
no one, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
especially the high efficiency, right? High frequency trading and all that. You're right. You're so right.
Right. I mean, you can. There are a lot of different ways to make money. You can be a drug dealer. Now, obviously, you're providing value.
That one gets a little more gray. Hey, here's a good one. You can be a poker player. I play poker, and
you and I have had this discussion.
Yeah,
actually,
totally.
Right?
While we all kind of create an experience for each other, and there is a competition. At the end of the day, there is nothing more tangibly more valuable or better. At the end of the poker game. So you're right. I think, though, this is such a safe bet. It's such a built-in law. You know, I don't recommend...
Well, it's the fundamental, Jordan. It's the foundation. That's what it is. Before you can buy and sell stocks, the companies that issued that stock have got to be created by a person that came up with the goods or the services idea and risked their entire financial life, probably put everything they had on the line to build that company. And eventually that company that provided direct value to other people for money got big enough that they were able to do an initial public offering and put it on the stock market.
That's a good point.
There would not be stock unless someone creating value for others is the fundamental concept of wealth creation. It's always at the bottom before people can steal your money or tax your money or redistribute your money or borrow your money or loot your money or anything else. Your wealth has got to be created. And this is how it's created at the end of the day, is by creating value for other people. Understanding this concept early on is literally what has allowed me to create the wealth that I've created. And you know, all my friends that understand this concept that are also successful will say the same thing. The sooner you can get it into your brain that the financial rewards that you're experiencing right now are a direct result of how much value you've created for the people around you. And that if you want to expand your financial rewards, you've got to expand the value you create for people and the number of people you create value for. That is the fundamental concept. Once you get that in your mind, then you can start thinking about your specific talents, your specific passions, and how to maybe match those to the needs of other people.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, man. I want to dive into a subject that goes right along with this and I think is on people's minds when it comes to this idea of, well, you create value, you provide the value, and then you're paid in return. A big question is, what is that payment? How big is that payment? Why are some people paid such vast, vast amounts for the same activity while others are paid little or even sometimes nothing?
Yeah. Pricing strategy is a thing. It's a real thing. So the bottom line is this is the Joe Polish quote that I say is one of the best business quotes anyone's ever told me. He basically said, there's no guaranteed relationship between being great and getting paid. Doesn't matter how much value you create, getting paid is a separate thing that you need to dial in, because that doesn't happen automatically. So what I've always said is, you've got to create value for other people and you've got to do it in a financial model that works for you. And that's just a fancy way of saying, you've got to make sure that you're being paid, that you're earning a profit proportionate to the value that you create for other people. And that's just a matter of, you know, that's a matter of taking a look at the market, figure, you know, what is the product or what is the service that you're getting ready to provide? What are similar products or services going for in the open market? You definitely don't want to price yourself too low. You've got to put a good value on the work you do. You deserve to be rewarded for your hard work. You price yourself too high, you're not going to have any customers. So that's always a tightrope you got to walk.
So I love how you just give it this logical approach right there. But then I also got to say, right off the bat, there's such a huge connection between the emotional category and this process of the career category that you're talking about right now. When you're deciding how much is this worth, especially if you're a creator, if you're in the service industry, I feel like it's way better. You can compare to your competitors. But what if you're creating art? Now you have to put a number, a dollar value on this thing that you pulled out of your own heart, and all this stuff comes up about, am I that talented? And you're limiting beliefs, or maybe your inflated ego going, heck yeah, this is worth $100,000 for sure. So it's just funny how how the emotional and character category bleed into this.
Let me tell you a little story. This is a short story that just illustrates that point so well. My father, your grandfather, he's definitely one of the most successful commercial artists who's ever lived. He created the Precious Moments Collection when he started in his late 40s, and he was a starving artist all the way up until that point. So he did whatever he could to put food on the table. He didn't even get a job as an artist until he was in his mid-30s. And then he finally started getting successful when he was almost 50. You know that my dad, and billions and billions of dollars worth of his art has sold. That's what we had as an art licensing company, right? But do you know that he has never, ever sold a painting? And the reason that he has never sold a painting in his entire life is because he's always been so insecure about what if I donate this painting so that they can sell it at auction and nobody cares, nobody buys it. Whoa. One of the most successful commercial artists in the entire world, and he's never sold a painting because of the insecurity about what if people don't like it and bid on it.
That is the true definition of an artist. Exactly. Yeah. That's an artistic quality that you have, and I don't know where that comes from, where you can be so successful and well-loved and still have the insecurities. That's such a painter artist opinion 100%. To have. But dude, that's insane. I mean, when people see his art, his art is just stunning. I would put it up there with, I mean, come on, I'm biased, but yeah, I've showed strangers Sam Butcher's painting art book, and they're like, this is like a grandmaster. He's like a grandmaster.
That's exactly right. And yet even he really has a lot of trouble putting value on his work. So you just tapped into something that's absolutely true. But here's what I will tell you. Emotions aside, you can get a baseline for what the market is paying for products or services or even art like yours. You can get a baseline.
Yes.
And then the bottom line is this. If you want to charge more than that, you damn well better be able to language and message what you're doing in a way that's persuasive enough to get people talked into paying you money. That's the other side of the coin that you've got to take responsibility for.
That's a really good point too.
If you're a product developer, your job is to ask, what do people want? What would make people's lives better, safer, easier? Mm-hmm. If you're a marketer, your job is to ask, how can I create value by reaching more people, right? If you're a business developer, how can I create more value by expanding my offer? If you're a service provider, how can I create more value by helping people out with something that they need every day? That is the question if you want to make more money. Hmm. How do I create more value and how do I do it for more people? And you can do that on the side while you're doing a day job.
Yes.
If you want to just start to experiment. I feel like in the new world that we're getting ready to step into, Jordan, we should all be doing something like this. I feel like, and you know, I don't want to put my stuff on other people. I don't do that. But there's a part of me that feels like in this day and age, if you're going to a job that you really don't like, you're punching in, you're clocking in, you're giving your boss 8 hours, you're getting paid, you know, $30 an hour, whatever you're getting paid for that 8 hours, and you go home and you drink a six pack of Michelob and watch the ball game. You know, I mean, in this day and age, you have the opportunity to do something on the side. It's never been easier to explore your talents and your passions and how they could relate to creating value for other people.
So true.
And the reason that I think that we should all consider doing that one way or another isn't just to make more money and just so that we can enrich ourselves and afford a better quality of life. But what we're talking about right here is the path to self-actualization. And that's why it's so powerful. Because when you decide that you're going to dedicate your talents and your passions in the service of other people to creating more value, that's the path to getting good at stuff. Yeah. Like when I think back 25, 30 years ago, when my career was just starting, right? I didn't know anything about branding at a major level. I didn't know anything about being an art director. I didn't know anything about massive deal structure. All the things that I know right now, I learned because I made a decision early on that I was going to dedicate my talents in the service of others to create as much value as possible and to earn a profit proportionate to that action. And I friggin' worked hard and I learned so much. And that's why I'm good at the stuff that I'm good at now. That's how it works. So not only is this the path to the highest quality of life that you can create to yourself because of the money that you make, but it's also the path to self-actualization and really expanding your talents.
100%, man. I couldn't have said that better. And you're detecting that need and you're detecting that trend because it is happening. More people have a side hustle now than ever before. You're absolutely right. It's easier now to start a side hustle than ever before. I mean, whether it's an Etsy store or a podcast or just an Instagram account where you're showing off whatever you're doing.
100%. Jordan, it's almost like there's no excuse anymore, unless you're just not interested in making more money. Exactly. And expanding your quality of life, which is fine. That's absolutely 100% fine. But what I feel like still a lot of people are frustrated out there. Stuck. Because they want something better. They know that they're capable of something better, but they don't know where to start. Well, this is where to start.
Yes.
This is where to start. What are my talents? What are the things that I love? What am I fascinated by? What am I passionate about? And how could I work in those areas, creating more value for other people and earn a profit for myself in the process and create a hell of a lot of self-actualization and expand those talents in the future?
So
that's just good stuff, man.
So much pours from the career category. We kind of, I feel that, and this is, I say we, because this is something I've done. I'm just comparing to my own experience. I feel like the career category can kind of be relegated to like, that's what you do. It's like left-brained. It's like not holy. It's like, no, man, if you get the career category right, it spills over into your financial life and it fuels your quality of life and it builds your character, and getting good at something makes you emotionally strong. For some, magically, you're happier and less depressed when you know that you're good at something and you're providing value. And then for some reason, you feel more spiritually fulfilled because you're loving the work you're doing, whistling while you work. There is something a little bit holy, spiritual about the career path. And I think that it's much more impactful than some might give it credit for.
Well, 100%. And you know, Jordan, we know that a win anywhere is a win everywhere.
Yes.
With the Lifebook methodology. But I agree with you. The career category seems to be a little bit special from the standpoint of, in one sense, your career is a means to an end. And the end is to fund your life. Mm-hmm. Your career pays for your quality of life, it pays for your house, it pays for your kids, it pays
for your life vision. Yeah.
Right. On the one hand, so that's a really, really important thing. But on the other hand, I feel that human beings not only need to do productive work in order to survive.
Yes.
We need to do productive work in order to have self-esteem.
Yes.
We need to know that there's a reason that we're waking up in the morning and that we're doing something that matters, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
there's a spiritual vibration to the
category. Totally. And that was the big joke, is like everybody was working towards retirement. And then there was all these studies that came out that said like retiring is really bad for your health. And people who instead take up a hobby or a second job or whatever end up living longer and being happier. And, you know, they made a bunch of episodes of sitcoms about this very thing, how you retire and you break down. It's like, no, we need to reframe how we look at work and make our work more in line with our values and our life vision. And then, like I said earlier, like whistle while we work, enjoy the process itself. And then you know that you have your career category in a healthy place and you can be grateful and know that you're blessed enough to have your career category as part of your life vision, fully in your integrity, aligned with your values. That's quite a special place to be.
That's beautifully said, and Jordan. And you know, I'm just listening to you, that last minute riff that you just did and thinking to myself, what other time in human history would a friggin' 30-year-old kid even be talking like you're talking right now? Yeah. We have so much opportunity. We're in a golden age that nobody's noticing because everybody is so agitated and focused on the things that they're focusing on. There, no matter what area of human endeavor you measure, we have never even been close to where we are now. And I really think that we can all afford to raise the bar on our idea of what our career can be, what our career is.
Yes.
You know, we don't have to frigging go to the coal mines anymore. You know, not everybody, at least. Right. It's like 100 years ago, man, it was, oh, I mean, good the luck. Opportunities that we have now to create a career that will not only be financially rewarding, but to lead us to on a path of self-actualization, even make the world a better place. And it's never been easier with the technology that we have right now,
and
with the affluence that we have right now. You guys, Lifebook members, I think that we just all need to raise the bar in every area of our lives and just not settle not settle for second best, not settle for less than we should have. We're in a golden age and we need to take advantage of it. No one's thinking like that right now.
I mean, Garrett Gunderson was on last year for Financial and his dad was a coal miner. And he talks about, like, I'm one generation from that. We are so close to that. And that was all of humanity. And now here we are.
Exactly. So,
man, powerful stuff for Career Month. Any final words here? I feel like that was a strong podcast right there.
Well, you know, I guess that when you think about value creation and when you think about the path that it puts you on, I'd sum it up like this. The more you give, the more you get. That's just a law of the universe. That's the law of karma. There are more ways to say that in more different languages and more different religions than basically any other statement. That which goes around comes around. That which you sow, you shall also reap. You have to sleep in the bed you make. You know, the more you give, the more you get. But the more consciously you can do it, the better off you are. This isn't just about unconscious giving and radiating, you know, love and goodness out to the world, which is a good thing to do too. I'm not taking anything away from that. But in the career category, bringing the consciousness to who you are and what you have to offer, figuring out who could benefit from that and offering it to them, and then dedicating yourself to getting better and better at that. And by the way, this is one of the things that intimidates people sometimes when you talk about value creation. They're like, well, what am I good at? I'm not really that great at anything.
Right.
I'm okay at this and I'm okay. Yeah, but if you start, you will be great.
Yes.
That's how it works. You will get great. That's how you get great.
That's how
you get in the game. That's exactly right. And then you iterate. You continue to iterate. You get better every single day. So I love this. I love that this category, just like you said, in the financial category too, they have a spiritual resonance to them. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know that you've tapped into it. That's when you know that you're on the right track. When the energy just gets so consonant and there's no friction anymore, and you understand, I'm going to wake up every day and focus on my core talent, my core fascination, my core passion, and put it in the service of others and earn a profit and develop all my self-esteem, develop my talents even further. You know, that's a frictionless, that's the channel that you want to be in with this particular category.
Love it, man. Absolutely love it. I hope that you Lifebook members can resonate with that. I hope that if you're in a place in your career that's not quite in line with your life vision, I hope you're making strides and moving towards that life vision every single day. We are here to help you in the Lifebook membership. That's all for today, man. Thank you for taking this time with me.
It's been great. Thanks so much, Jordan.
Lifebook members, thank you so much. We'll see you next time and every month as we explore the 12 categories together. This is John Butcher and Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.